Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We've got to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to Studio on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in, and today is going to be a very special day. We have so many special days because God is at the center of really this radio show and the guests that we have. They're just incredible. But first of all, we like to do, you know, we just thank God for David Barton, who starts our show just about every day. This was a little recording we did when we saw him many years ago in Montgomery, Alabama. It was, I think, a year after the stand that Judge Moore took, and he was in Montgomery speaking. And he was so kind and gracious that he made this little recording for us. And so we've used it just about every day. And so we're grateful. And today his son, Tim Barton, is here. So I'm just very excited. But first of all, we'd like to start a conversation with giving it to God in prayer. You don't mind? Let's join Ms. Barbara Moore to start us off on the right foundation. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
Hi, Diana. Thank you so much. And, you know, we love the introduction that David Barton so graciously and kindly taped for us for our radio show. But, you know, I was thinking, I have learned so much from him and continue to learn, as many others do. But, you know, he has such knowledge. But what I like and what I love about him most of all is his heart for God, his heart for God's people to know him better, to love him more deeply, and to see what God has done for us in this great nation. And what a blessing he is, and what a blessing his family is. And I'm so grateful that we're being joined by his son today. So let's thank the Lord for all of this together. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, oh, how good you are to us, oh God. We praise you and we thank you, Father, for the many blessings of this day. We thank you, Father, that we're able to gather together in your name, Lord, with this radio broadcast. We pray, Father, that you would be honored, and that we would give you glory, Lord, and that it would help all those who listen, Father. We want to be a blessing. You are such a giver of all good gifts, Father, and we want to be givers of good gifts also. We want to be a blessing, Lord, to all who hear this broadcast. I pray, Father, that not only will others hear this broadcast, but that they will share it, Lord, that many might come to know you, love you, serve you, and to see your hand upon this great nation, Lord. All the wonders you have performed, O God, let us learn of them and share them. Pass them on from generation to generation. We pray this, Father. We ask your blessing now upon this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. And first of all, I just need to do a little intro, really, on Tim Barton, the son of David Barton, and how good of God to allow Tim to come on our show, because really, Ms. Barbara, this is really what we've been working for, is that next generation, and Tim is going to be one of those important leaders, and how good of God to have had David raise him up in such a way for such a time as this, because we are really fighting an issue that hit the very core of what matters in a family, the children. That's what we're hitting today, is the issue about the standards that is going to be pushed through, is being pushed through the schools of our great nation. So we want to start off, though, with telling a little bit about Tim. And Tim, if you don't mind, I'm just going to let you say what you'd like for people to know about you. I could read your bio, but if you would like, what would you like for people to know about yourself, if you don't mind?
Well, my bio has a lot of information, but I was a high school teacher and a youth pastor. I've worked in ministry for years. I'm on staff at my church. I work full-time with Wall Builders, but I'm a guy who loves the nature, outdoor creation. I love the Lord, and I love America, and so I am really blessed to have the opportunity to get to do everything I do, but really do. I appreciate the nation that God has blessed and allowed me to live in, and I'm so grateful for the privileges that we get to have as an American. And so I really have a passion to see those things protected and preserved that have come so heavily under attack these days.
Wow. Well, Tim, we know that, you know, what your father has been teaching you about the greatness of God in America and throughout the world has really probably developed you to be the person you are today. We're going to go ahead and introduce some of the other folks that's on with you. And we're so grateful, really, for the opportunity that Facebook gives us, because I posted tonight the show on Facebook. And, Tim, this is because, you know, everybody loves your dad and Wall Builder. She also is a, you know, ministry. And people were just liking that all over. And there's now a Stop Common Core page for every state. And Tim, that has got to be from God, because my sister-in-law was telling me, Diocesans, 3 days ago, there were not that many Stop Common Core pages, but we are seeing just a compounding of interest. And once parents get it, they are going to fight for it, and that's what we're seeing. So we're excited. So you're being heard all across, I'm believing, across the country. And we
went ahead
and extended this to a two-hour session. We know you can't stay but an hour probably, but I'm going to let some of them get a chance at the end of the first hour to maybe ask you a question or so, and then open up the second hour for questions. We've been really at this Common Core issue since, I think, 2010 is when we started off interviewing, because our Betty Peters, who speaks all over the country now, is one of the people that really woke us up. And, you know, that her lone voice. I know we talk about that, like John the Baptist, that lone voice in the desert. It is finally, you know, so many seeds have been planted by her speaking out for the truth, letting the truth be heard, that now we're having a chance to really fight this rightly. As you know, your father's been on Glenn Beck, and that has been just a great help. So please extend our thanks to Glenn also. But I want to go ahead and introduce, we've got our dear friend, Ms. Pastor Wingwood, who's a co-host also of this show. He is a historian too, history teacher, though. He loves what your family is doing. And we also have Dawn Wildman from California. She was the national coordinator for Tea Party Patriots. So this lady knows an awful lot of people in the Tea Party world. Now, she's very busy right now with California's Tea Party and her own group in San Diego. But we're so grateful, Dawn, that you are here today, because I know you're going to love who we you love who we've got on. And let's see, we have another person, and I will get them to have a chance, if they'd like to say something, I see another person on, but if they don't want to, and they want to just listen in, they can listen in.
How are you?
Okay. Huh? Hi. Oh, yeah, who have we got here?
All right. Well, thank you for reporting. Okay. All right. Bye.
Okay. Well, they're going to listen. Hello? Would you like to say your name, or would you like just listen in? Okay, she wants to just listen in. We'll just let her listen in. But we're just so grateful for this opportunity, and I may have lost her, but hopefully she'll call in. But, again, you know, listeners, just call in at the bottom half of the hour if you'd like to have a question for him. We're going to let him have a chance to tell us about his concerns. He's right there. Tim is right there. You know, Tim, I was just thinking, why is this happening, the Seascope in Texas? And then I got to thinking, well, you know, the enemy is not concerned about other states that really don't aren't as involved as Texas. What
sure.
the enemy likes to do is go after the heart of the matter. If, you know, it's just like a family. If you can take out the dad to protect the family, we see the breakdown. If you take up the take out the pastor, you lose a congregation or half of it. So they've got to strike at Texas, and, of course, they're striking at Alabama, too. So if you don't mind, tell us what you're seeing, Tim.
Well, most of what we see is, I'm sure, what everybody else is seeing via the news coverage is getting. I will say, first of all, that Seascope has gotten such a bad reputation that now anything that goes wrong in education, it gets labeled as Seascope in Texas, which is a little unfortunate for them because some of these things have nothing to do with Seascope. But Seascope has done some very egregious things in the onset in Texas, things that I'm sure people have seen where they call the Founding Fathers terrorists, where they had a class design a flag for the new socialist nation that they were going to be in. Some of the concepts and ideas they promoted, linking the Founding Fathers with Hitler and the idea of the final solution, concepts that they taught that were from Sharia law. So many issues that you see that are a problem. In fact, that teachers would have to sign a contract with Seascope, not with the school, not with the district they're in, but with actually a company that is the curriculum that they say we will not reveal anything that we teach to anyone that asks. You know, initially there has to be something wrong when nobody can know anything that's in it. In fact, for a long time, the State Board of Education, the people that are in charge of education for the state of Texas were not even allowed to see what was in Seascope. Now, on the flip side, Seascope has since come out and they have apologized for some of that. In fact, one of the positive things that we see as far as people getting involved in the whole situation is that Seascope has made several changes along the way. And I am certainly not here to promote or defend Seascope. But on the flip side, we do want to encourage people that people's voices have already begun to make a difference in Seascope because they have already begun to change things. Now, granted, it should not – it's a problem that it was there in the first place. None of this stuff ever should have been there in the first place. But you have these superintendents that have the ability to purchase whatever curriculum they want because they take the taxpayer money, and they really only have to report to the school board, and so many school boards are in favor of so many of these things. And so we have seen Seascope really be a reflection of what the Common Core could look like nationwide. We are seeing it in Texas. And it's raised a lot of concerns with people. Now, Seascope is different than Common Core in the sense that it is run by a private company, and so schools are – individual districts get to choose if they want to be a part of it or not, which is very different from the Common Core concept. But this is still just a taste of what Common Core could be like, and the fact that it's in over 70% of schools and districts in Texas. And so to see what is happening is pretty boggling – When you think about what Common Core is and then you see what Seascope has become in Texas, there are a lot of hesitations that people have. Again, on the flip side, I think people can be encouraged to know that your voice does make a difference. In fact, we've encouraged people, when you don't like what's going on in the school, you need to run for the school board, whether you have a kid in that school or not. If you're in that district, if you're in that county, you can run for the school board. If you are part of the school board, then you can influence what curriculum is done. In fact, We know people that have gotten on school boards, and they've even gotten some wall builders books, gotten into those districts as textbooks and various things. And so really school boards have a lot of control over the individual district. But you definitely see a lot of things with C-Scope that give a lot of hesitation and pause, especially when you look at the big picture of what Common Core is and how detrimental that is, not just in the sense of education, but even the fact that it's unconstitutional in the very nature of what it is, a lot of reasons to be concerned as American citizens, but then also as Christians.
Well, Tim, you know, you're the perfect example to me of what we want for the next generation. You know, we want a generation that really is really just like the Founding Fathers, that loves God and knows that he has no wisdom without God. Really, you know, you can't have wisdom. It's
sure.
just foolish talk. And so we've come a long way from that. And the timing of this, I agree, is 100% perfect because Alabama's fighting, and then we find out about C-Scope. Well, C-Scope is Common Core. You know, when you look at the developers, and I've looked at some of the articles that's put out there about these developers of C-Scope and Common Core, they're really the same people. And there is a video by Peg Luxick that I watched last night. It was an hour long. I was tired. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, but I could not quit watching that. And she was talking about outcome-based education and how they fought that in Pennsylvania. And I believe every parent needs to watch it because it is a mirror. It is a mirror of what's going on today. And, you know, they know what their goals are with C-Scope and Common Core. And I'm saying to myself, when you take out a parent's input, that should be a red flag to every legislator. And yet,
absolutely.
In Alabama, Tim, we're having a problem even letting our legislators realize that that should be the basic issue that we should be at war with. You never take away, you can never improve education without the parents' input.
Well, and one of the great ironies in this is the reason we have so many people thinking incorrectly now is because they were taught incorrectly when they were in school. And, you know, that goes all the way back to people like John Dewey or back to B.F. Skinner when really so much of a secular worldview was promoted in our schools and back to the early 1900s when you see so much of the humanism and the evolutionary concepts coming in where we replace the idea or even the need that we understood a dependency on God, and we come to the place where we look and we see man as a measure and ultimately that, you know, government can be a solution and education can fix it. And so we have these people in government who now think they have the solution, they know better than everybody else, and, you know, these poor parents, they don't have the PhDs that these elected officials or people on the State Board of Education have. And so because these poor lowly parents don't have the educational training, they just don't know what's best for their kids. And that's just absolutely ridiculous. But it's the educational system that produced that thinking and the people that are now leading the educational system. And so it's been a very incestuous philosophy that's just been handed off to people inside the educational system. And everybody on the outside can look and recognize that's a problem. But everyone that's grown up in that and is a part of that looks and they think they have the solution. And so this is one of the issues that we now have trying to communicate this to our even state legislators, because when you go through that institution of learning, this is what you're taught is the whole point of education. This is what we need in education. And the reality is that's just not common sense, and it just doesn't work.
Well, and I love that, you know, y'all's website is wallbuilders.com, and or is it .org? I know I go through
.com
there all the
correct.
Time.
Yeah,
wallbuilders.com. And one of the first things I've gotten, you know, which I've gotten a whole lot of the DVDs, and I teach a little Sunday school class, and I'm so grateful to tell your dad we are using y'all's DVD series where we're letting the kids watch 15 minutes in Sunday school time and watch that. And, you know, they're saying, we've never heard this. We did not know there was so much Christianity. And Tim, they're excited. But see, that's it. The truth has been withheld, and it's like breaking the promise. Because God tells us in his word, you know, that when we raise these children up in the training and admonition of the Lord, that's what we're supposed to do it. You know, then,
sure.
My goodness, good things happen. And we've taken that away. I think we've stolen that from future generation by doing what you're saying, which is believing this mindset that you've got to have a PhD, you've got an MSW or something in order to be ones that we can listen to. When you hear Ben Carson, who talked about his mother, who could not even read,
sure,
because she asked God for help, here he becomes the first ever to successfully separate Siamese twins.
Yeah.
Because his mother lived in the ghetto. I mean, this system is going to classify that family as a non-entity. I mean, not worth anything, really, pretty much.
Yeah, it's remarkable to see how far it goes in the wrong direction. And really, it is a reflection that we have so lost grasp of who we are as Americans, where we came from, and what made us great and made us exceptional. And in reality, as Christians, we kind of lose track of the fact that, as you mentioned, where God encourages and really commands us to train our children up in the fear, the admonition of the Lord. But the reality is, when you read the Old Testament, when God told Moses, he says, look, you tell the people, write down my commands. You tell them, put them on their doorpost. You know, you write them on everywhere in the house needs to be. And, in fact, they were supposed to build altars, and then they were supposed to make sacrifices. And God tells Moses, the reason you do this is because when your kids ask, why are we doing this, you explain all the different things you're doing. You explain, well, the reason we celebrate Passover is because of what God did in this situation. The reason we are making this sacrifice of the firstborn is to remember when God did this in this situation. And the reality was, everything that God was telling them they had to remember was their history. Because very plainly, if they ever forgot their history, they would lose touch with the reality of who they were, where they came from, and what made them successful if they forgot their history. It's remarkable, as you study Scripture, that's really the only thing that God told people they have to study was their history. God didn't say you have to know math and science and English. God said you have to know your history so you remember who I am, what I've done for you, where I've taken you from, what I've brought you into, what makes you successful in life. And this is where, as America, we have come so far from that very concept, because history's become the most fluid thing we have now, and we spend so much time on all the different TEKS where we have to have math and science or the second language, whatever else we need, and we have so neglected history, which as Christians we have to understand the significance of what God said about that. And this is where we find ourselves in so many problems today, is because we have so neglected the truth of our history. And as you mentioned, people want to know the truth. When you said the kids in Sunday school are hearing this going, man, we've never heard this before, the reality is people love to know the truth, and most people are not interested in history because history has become very boring for them, because we don't really cover the truth of history. We just tell dates and names and places. We don't tell the stories about people anymore. We don't talk about George Washington and his faith and his famous prayer, Valley Forge, where the Quaker family saw him. And because of George Washington's prayer, they realized the Americans were going to win the war. Just because of the prayer this general prayed, we don't hear the stories that really explain the exceptionalness of the people that were leading us, of the character of those people, of the faith of those people that really inspire us because of history. We have really diluted history. We have really changed history, and it's become very boring, and people don't care about it. And because of all of that, we've really lost track of what makes America special, or what made America special, and now we are redefining everything in our nation. But we are never going to be able to achieve what we want if we don't remember who we are, where we came from, and what makes us special.
Well, I think going back, Tim, I've always thought, you know, why don't we just go back to how they did it? They sent men to the moon, and they had these, you know, 13-year-olds going to college. And, you know, John Quincy Adams was the secretary to the ambassador of Russia, you know, U.S. ambassador to Russia, at age 13, and I'm thinking, why
sure.
don't we go back to that? And I look at the New England Primer, which everybody can order that, you know, from wallbuilders.com, and it's a little book. When I got it, it's a tiny book, but it's
yep.
really about how they learned, you know, ABCs, and it's scriptures. It's not A's for apple. It's long mm-hmm. words, but I remember interviewing Professor Sanders Dotsky. Professor Sanders Dotsky is really the one that helped form the Massachusetts English Language Arts, which were the best in the country. She was on the National Validation Committee in forming Common Core, and we interviewed her back in 2010 at the start of this. but I had interviewed her lately because she has written us a standard for English that's available to everybody, and I think Texas is using that because I spoke to Ms. Donna Garter. But Professor Sanders-Donsky said, because I was telling her the problem I had with my son that was having a reading problem, and of course, he was told, you know, we went to speech therapy, he just needs to read more. And God showed me he needs to be reading the Word of God. Would you believe that child got to be the best reader in class? But what Professor Sanders-Donsky said is that that is really a high form of reading. That the
yep.
King James Version of the Bible is one of the hardest. So in essence, you were encouraging your child to learn something that, yeah, it was difficult, but when he does it, will make him better. And see, we've gotten away from that.
Yeah. Well, and the very simple principle that when you do what God desires, God honors and blesses that. And you would put yourself in a position where God could reward that. We know that the Word of God does not return void. And so the reality is you are putting in something that is so significant and valuable, and it does have an educational value because it is something that does elevate the student or the reader on so many levels, and we see that statistically, but it's because of people's agendas. They say, wait a second, we can't have the Bible back in schools. We can't let that be something we do, which is just ludicrous to consider because they say, well, that's religion. You can't have religion in school. And you go, well, wait a second, why don't you want the concepts of loving people and forgiving people, and grace and mercy? Why don't you want concepts of justice? Why don't you want the concepts of don't steal and don't kill, things that Christianity teaches and produces, but people aren't really interested in the statistics of what it produces. They're not really interested in what Jesus said, that you judge a tree by its fruit. The fruit of Christianity, of just when you look at Christian schools compared to public schools, it's so far apart with what Christian schools are producing, and, by the way, homeschools, families doing that too, but it's because of the values that are put there. When you compare it to public schools, the fruit is so obvious, but people aren't as nearly as interested in the results as they are in accomplishing their own agenda. And this is where we have to, as just common sense Americans, look and go, wait a second, I want what is going to produce the best result in my child. And it is not this Common Core concept. It is not the removal of God and religion. In fact, it is individualized personal training from teachers with a worldview that would be conducive to the principles of the Word of God. This is what's going to produce the most in my child. And this is where we have to, as parents and as just Americans with common sense, wake up and recognize we ought to be judging the tree by the fruit and not by the agenda.
Wow, so if you want to raise young men and women that were like our founding fathers and like you, Tim, really, you know, get out your Bible. Let them read out loud. Let them read to you. But anyway, I've already said too much, so I'm going to turn it over and let each one at least get a chance to ask you a question or more. So I'm going to turn this over from our friend in California, Don. Hi there. I'm sorry I've kept him for so long, but go ahead and ask him a question or make a comment.
No, it was a pleasure listening to both of you, and really thank you, Tim, for coming on today. It's always a pleasure to be able to talk to people that are like-minded as ourselves, but also people that have influence to carry the message. So, you know, I'm going to gloat a little bit about something we started just 4 weeks ago based on just reaction to Common Core and this absolute dire need to feel like we have to do more about it. So here at City on a Hill, these folks have been way ahead of the curve for years now, talking about Common Core and really working to change things in Alabama. And because Diana became completely frustrated with the legislative process, as we know it can be, she reached out and she said, you know, we have to do more. There's people all over the country working on this. What can we do to get everybody together? And so 4 short weeks ago, we started a national coalition of people working on Common Core. And the first conversation we had about 10 people. And now we have over 40. So
wow.
It is astonishing. Even in my state, where I work with 350 leaders every week, we speak every week, I was surprised to find who was working on this issue. And the interesting thing is, it's not necessarily parents who have kids in school right at this moment. It's grandmothers. It's, you know, people without children. Every spectrum, you know, homeschoolers, Christian schoolers, you name it. Men, women, that are astonished at, the more we find out, obviously, about Common Core, the worse they feel about it. And so now we're trying to educate the legislators. So do you have any advice for us to as to how we do that in a manner that isn't divisive? Because you would think education alone would be kind of a nonpartisan or issue where everybody would love to be, you know, the leader on that issue, bettering education. But we know that's not how it generally turns out.
Sure.
So,
well, one of the problems with C-SCOPE is that it tends to operate outside of state government, which is just ridiculous to say, because under the Constitution doesn't give the federal government any power over education. And so, in fact, when you look back to what Jimmy Carter did with coming up with the Department of Education, there's no constitutional basis for that. In fact, in the Constitution, if it's not one of the enumerated powers, then the power is supposed to fall to the state. The feds are supposed to have no say over education in individual states. That's run by the state. Common Core is jumping over that, what is supposed to be state-run education, and actually, for that matter, supposed to be based on the districts, which there are a lot of districts that are really kind of bucking the system, and there's a lot of districts doing a really good job saying we're not going to do that. But what state legislators need to understand is, first of all, this is actually unconstitutional because the federal government can't come in and do this. But what's happening is this is also it's skipping state legislative authority in the sense that Common Core, you know, sets up this national standard, which the standards are just awful in the sense of how much it lowers what we expect of our kids because we want to leave no child behind. And instead of pushing everybody forward to get smarter, we're just going to lower the standard so everybody can meet it. And I mean, just really a terrible philosophy of how we accomplish this and make this happen. But the way they're doing it, and I'm saying this knowing that you are probably already familiar with the way they're doing it's with the spending clause and Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 of the Constitution. The feds have the power to spend money, and so the feds are more or less using this spending clause as a bribe to the states. And so state legislators need to understand that federal government is really trying to manipulate the whole process. They're trying to unconstitutionally make this happen. And so if you have someone that cares just about the Constitution, the rule of law, that's the place to start. Well, beyond that, you can look at what it produces and say, look, when you measure the standard of what Common Core has done and what it has produced in kids, it is such a low level, a low standard, that this is not going to help our school. In fact, educationally speaking, academically speaking, our kids are going to be dumber because of this product. Well, on top of that, it does it without any parental input, so our parents don't get to have any say, so parents aren't going to be happy with you. There's going to be an amazing price tag thrown on top of this, and so I think really it's just a matter of helping educate the legislators, and I know that's kind of a problem because not a lot of legislators want to take time to allow someone to help them really be educated because the people that usually want to know the truth are already going to kind of be on your side. But there's a lot of websites out there that have a lot of information on Common Core. It's becoming much more prevalent that people are attacking and looking at some of these issues. But I think you need to point out to the legislators that, first of all, this destroys federalism. This is education without state representation, without parental input. There's an exorbitant price tag. It lowers standards across the board in academics. There's just nothing good you can point to about Common Core, not to mention it's unconstitutional. So I think that's kind of the approach that needs to be taken. But then the reality is, and as much as we need to get our legislators on board, this is something that school boards are the ones that have influence over what happens. And so we have to get where we are having people once again running for school board, because if you can control the school board, then you can get the superintendent not take the federal money and therefore not opt in to the Common Core curriculum, even if the rest of the state is, because individual districts have control over that.
We have been sort of coming at it from that avenue now, and I think the interesting thing about legislators is, you know, they don't know about this at all.
Sure.
Especially the state, and the ones that are really good conservatives are trying to get themselves up to speed. I don't mind spending time and energy to help them get educated. Frankly, I would just assume they get the information from us than some other source anyway.
Absolutely.
So, you know, thank you. I appreciate the advice. We're doing the best we can, and we're seeing this coalition truly get built. And I think, you know, we're only as good as the sum of our parts. So
sure.
The more people that come, the better it is for us.
Absolutely. The more we can encourage people to get involved, and this is something that the other side has done so well for so long. When you look at the attacks on our religious liberty in this nation, where, you know, people are attacking crosses in cemeteries, they're attacking prayer at schools, the reality is you have one person, oftentimes not even a member of the community, who comes in and raises an issue and has a voice that becomes so loud and prevalent that it's become something they have to deal with. Well, we look at that and go, wait a second, you have nothing to do with this, but because of some of the system and the way it works now, they are allowed to have a voice. Well, we ought to be encouraging our grandparents. And they go, well, we don't have kids in the school anymore. Yes, but if you are in the community, you still have a voice and your voice matters. Why don't you go run for school board? You're retired. You've got time. You know, the men are playing golf, the women tennis, whatever they're doing. You've got time. Why don't you go run for school board? Or maybe it's a parent and they say, you know what, my kid's not in public school. My kid's in Christian school. I homeschool. That doesn't matter. You can still go run for that school board. And so we have to help encourage people to think differently. Just because you're not a part of that specific school doesn't mean you can't have a voice in what the kids in that school are learning. And so helping get people involved on the local level, and then obviously if you can get people calling their state legislator and letting them know, hey, we really care about this issue. We have a lot of friends that serve both state and federally. And they'll tell us if they get between 5 to 10 calls on an issue, they know it's a really big deal because they just don't get many people that call them. And so if we had people calling their legislators, if you know, from every county, from whatever the districts are where they have a legislator, if you could get 10 or 15 or 20 or even 30 people to call, they would think, my goodness, this is a landslide. This is a really big deal. And so just helping remind people that if you get involved, you can make a difference. And not be discouraged and think, well, there's nothing we can do. No, get involved and you can make a difference.
Thank you. I think that is definitely something we keep trying to remind people of. Really, one person can make all the difference.
Absolutely.
Thank
you.
Well,
Ms. Barbara? Thank you, Dawn. And how about you, Ms. Barbara? I know you've got a comment or question for him.
Well, I want to hearken back to his comments a little bit earlier about how the Lord tells us over and over again to remember it, to study our history. And what's interesting about that is that when we do study real history, then we become lifelong learners. You know, we hear a lot of talk about lifelong learning, and that is the one thing that will cause us to become lifelong learners, because when we study history, we get so inspired about the people who've gone before us and what they accomplished and the obstacles that they overcame to be successful and their habits, and we learn from them, and we're inspired to be like them. And you know, to learn more and more. And the more we learn, the more we want to learn. And so if we study our history, we want to know science. We want to know math. We want to know language and so forth. And you know, history is the thing. I mean, it really is. And so I love what you said, Jim, about that. And the other thing, talking about what Don was talking about, I think the wall that we're hitting up against with our legislators is when we talk about the authority of the states and the parents and the local school boards and the state school boards, that power being usurped by the federal government, the law that we get is they will tell us, well, it was the National Governors Association that recommended this. This is their baby. This is, you know, their governors of the states. And so we're just, this is all about the states. And we keep hearing that over and over again. And in fact, you know, it's a trade organization based in Washington, D.C., but we can't seem to get past that with our legislators. And I don't know what the answer is.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tim. Tim, are you still on? Okay, let me see, Ms. Barber. Hold on for a second. I'm sorry, Tim. Can you hear us?
Yep, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, now we can. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Next time, if you don't like my answer, you can just tell me. You don't have to mute me on, you know, the air. But whatever you want to do is fine. You're the boss. From now on, I will do it your way. I apologize for getting in trouble.
No, I'm sorry. No, you're fine. I had muted the wrong thing, so you go ahead, Tim.
No, I'm just kidding. I do think that we do see this issue of legislators, and ultimately this is the reason that we encourage Christians so much to get involved, and even beyond getting involved in the process and voting. One of the problems we've seen among Christians is that when Christians have gotten involved, for instance, this last presidential election, we had more Christians vote in this last election than in any election previous that we can list. We had so many Christians involved. The problem was so many Christians voted for the wrong issues, morally speaking. They were voting for the wrong things to be passed, whether it was that we want marijuana or we want homosexual marriage or we want euthanization, whatever the case was. We saw so many things that Christians voted for, and they just weren't thinking biblically. The reason I say that is because the legislators that we have right now represent the involvement and the thinking of the people that voted in these last elections, and we are dealing with basically the product of what we voted ourselves into, essentially. And this is why we encourage so many people to get involved, because we see these issues, and hopefully now people are seeing them more than they have before, and they realize, man, this next midterm election, when we have some seats that open up, we need to make sure we actually are voting for biblically sound, moral people so we can get some of these things taken care of. Because the fact is, a lot of these guys, we have a hard time getting them to understand the value side, the principle side, the moral side, to be character driven and not pocketbook driven. Because so many of these guys, they get a benefit from voting for certain issues and certain bills and legislation, when really it doesn't do us any good at all in what it's producing in the state, but because it's an agenda, because it's their pocketbook. And we have to think differently when we come to choosing those leaders, because those leaders it was easy to know the way they were going to think before they got there. There's not really people you have that get to that position and they make a decision and you go, oh my goodness, I had no idea that's what they believed. I never saw that coming. Everybody has a record. Everybody has a past, and you can judge the tree by its fruits and see what they're going to produce. And so it's very unfortunate that we are having some of the difficulties with legislators now, which is why we would encourage every listener that this is why it's so important that we make good decisions when and actually get involved, but then we choose the right kind of people. But at this point, a lot of prayer has to be involved, because the Bible tells us that God's the one that changes the heart of the king. God's the one that directs it. God's the one that leads it. And that's the way it is with our legislators. And there's a lot of guys that are making wrong decisions, and we have to pray for the grace and mercy of the Lord to do that. But then, again, our voice has to be heard. And really, if we can get people from their district to call and tell them, hey, you know, we are really concerned about this issue, and we want to make sure that we do the right thing. If they know they have pressure from their home base, then they are much more inclined to do the right thing. Now, I say that a little bit loosely, because if you have a good guy there, for instance, we have a guy in Texas who is our state rep, And we get emails every time there's some big vote coming up. We'll get an email telling us, hey, you need to call and you need to make sure that you tell your guy to vote the right way. Well, we never do because we actually helped recruit this guy. And so the guy that is there making these votes on these different issues, when they say, hey, make sure he's voting for life, well, we're not going to call and tell him to vote for life. We helped get him elected, and we did that because we knew where he stood on the issue of life. If we had a guy that we would have to call and say, hey, make sure you're going to vote the right way on life, we would not have worked to get him elected. We worked to get a guy elected that we didn't have to follow up on and make sure that he wasn't going to turn with, you know, the waves of the sea and the tide as it will, that he was going to stand solidly on biblical truth and morality and the character issues. And those are the kind of guys that we need to get elected, but we need to call and put pressure on people to make the right decisions that are on the fence or that are on the wrong side, because we got to help regain some of this ground, because it certainly is going the wrong direction in a lot of cases.
That's right. That's right. We had that situation with our state school board member, Betty Peters. Well, two of them, Betty Peters and Stephanie Bell here in Alabama. And they are the real deal, and we know exactly how they're going to vote, and that's why we put them there, and that is the best. That's the best of all worlds when you have that scenario.
Absolutely.
Well, Tim, we are just really grateful for this time with you, and we ask the listeners to go to our website, www.cityonahill.tv, click on the soldiers, a picture of our soldiers raising the flag at Iwo Jima. This is a battle. We all need to be involved, and they can click on that and listen to this podcast of today's show with you. But I wanted to ask you, what are you hearing about the data mining part of C-Scope Common Core?
I'm sorry, will you say that again?
Yeah, we're hearing more and more about the data mining that is in Common Core. And
I'm
guessing through C-Scope that they've already been doing that same thing. What are you hearing about that?
Well, there is definitely some mining, some tracking that's going on. Obviously, what we are seeing in Common Core is stuff that we want to definitely stay away from. You know, it's not the direction that we want to go, what we want to see. C-Scope is kind of a little yet to be determined in some senses. I think there are some similarities that obviously would give you caution and make you think this is not the direction we want to go. But we have seen C-Scope distance themselves in some ways from Common Core. Now, if that's actually the case, that's a little yet to be determined. In Texas, we are trying not to rush to judgment. In fact, one of the things that the Bible says in Isaiah is be careful not to call everything a conspiracy. Those people call it conspiracy. And it goes on, and God kind of explains through Isaiah that it becomes a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy if you're not careful. And so we want to be careful not to see a conspiracy, everything that happens. However, it's only a conspiracy if you're not right. And so we want to be careful that if this is something that's going on, that is an actual thing they are doing in C-Scope, then, of course, in Texas, we want to get that thing taken care of. Texas is one of the few states that's already said no to Common Core. I know there are several states that are fighting against Common Core right now, some states that have said yes to it that are now realizing some of the negative side effects, including the price tag, including some of that kind of the federal running of it that they are recognizing is a problem in Texas. We very blessed that we kind of saw that coming, and so we said that we didn't want to do that. But C-Scope is something that now has kind of reared ahead, and initially was very ugly. We do know that they have reached out. We know some Christian and conservative leaders they have reached out to try to help improve their product. And so if somebody is going to try to do something right, then I will give you a chance to do the right thing before we throw you under the bus. However, I can say what we have seen so far has not been good, and they will certainly have to change to show there is something different than the Common Core and then the problems we see in all the Common Core. But there definitely is a lot of similarities, which is obviously why so many people are concerned, and rightfully so, because of the negative things that we have seen in both of these products.
Well, Tim, I was talking about earlier about that video from Peg Luxick of Pennsylvania.
Sure.
And in the 70s and on outcome-based education. And, you know, it's very worrisome because I know there was a fight then not to let it happen, but I hate to say it, it's happened. When we look at where America is, they were successful. I know there was a fight, and so that's really very worrisome because we're seeing it's just an exact mirror image, you know. And some of the quotes in there she said was, you know, let me just say some of the things that she said. Values clarification of someone is controlling, you know. Lower standards gets higher graduation level, but it is a dumbing down. She said, though, behavior modification is not permissible because changes children to decide responses by those in control. And who's in control? Who's
sure.
in control of our federal government right now? Is that this system gives opportunity to mold the children to the values, their values. No one has that right. Only the family has, and that's my main
right.
problem with this. Only the family has. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, I was just going to say, and obviously we know biblically speaking, that's the big issue. I mean, the issue is the heart of the people that are in leadership. This is the fundamental issue when you talk about someone coming in to lead. It's the heart of the leader. It's because it's not specifically the operation that is evil in and of itself. Now, there are some evil operations, not to be mistaken. That certainly there are things that are evil, but the reality is, you cannot have a good institution that is any better than the leader that is leading it. And that's what the reality is when we are looking at turning things over to the federal government or even the state-run government. That can never be better than the people we have leading it. But if we had the right people leading it, then they would be returning the responsibility back to the people, which is the entire system, the entire basis of our government, the way our government operates. We, the people, make the decisions. The people that we have elected, they are serving us. We are their bosses. And, in fact, they see that as a complete flip. And this is where you just see the heart of people that has gone the wrong direction. And because the heart of people is in the wrong direction, we see so much of the wrong result with these things. And that's where it really becomes scary. Is apart from the fact that the federal government should never be leading, then you look at the worldview of the people that are leading. Well, now we've just multiplied the problem that we have because of the heart of the people that are leading.
Well, when you talk about the heart of the people, you talk about Arne Duncan, who wanted to have the first gay school in Chicago. That was
mm-hmm.
what he was promoting.
Right.
And you talk about Kevin Jennings, whom they hired to be the safe school's anti-bullying czar. And he pretty much laid it out. The plan is for it to look like it's about academics. We don't mind being last. So they've always spoken about their plans. And one of the things, too, on that video it says is, you know, we have all these reasons that the federal government needs to even lower the ages of kids being in school. Well, from birth to whatever, you
sure.
know, we need to serve them breakfast, you know, because they're coming from, we call it dysfunctional families today, but they called it disrupted in this video. But then she said, you know, even in World War II, where many dads were out of the home, serving in the military, therefore you had a lot of disrupted, dysfunctional families. The schools at that time said our mission is to teach academics. And so if they live in poverty, they have the tools to get out of poverty. And that's one of the things, too, that this Common Core is going to hurt, really, the people in poverty.
It will hurt them the most, and that's a guaranteed fact. And this is really where our philosophy of education has changed so much from what it used to be, where the founders, they believe that in education there are certain principles that you want to teach. It wasn't specifically the academic standard as much as it was the principles. And the reality was, Dr. Benjamin Rush is a great example, who was one of the three leading founding fathers. In fact, on his deathbed, John Adams said that was one of the three most notable founding fathers. Now, today we've never heard of Dr. Benjamin Rush, but he was considered the father of education under the Constitution. He was incredibly involved with education, but what he pointed out, he says, is that in schools, religion has to be a priority. He says the reason is because in a Republican form of government, which is what we are in, it's not the democracy of America, it's to the republic that we now live in, this nation. He says, in a republic, if you want liberty, the people have to be virtuous, and virtue comes through religion. And this is one of the principles that they work to teach, is because one of the great things we enjoy as Americans is is the freedom, the liberties of being in this nation, that we don't have to go through so much of the regulations and the rules and the restrictions other nations do. We have freedom. But what the Founding Fathers pointed out is the only way to maintain the freedom is if you have a virtuous people. But the only way you have a virtuous or a moral people is through religion. And that has to be a priority in education. Their philosophy of education was so different, and that's why you see so many issues with the Common Core, is because we have changed the philosophy of education, and this philosophy of education is very secular, it's very humanized, and that will not work in the world that we live in, and the way that God set up the kingdom in which we operate. That philosophy of education will not be successful because it counters not just common sense, but the way that God set up this world to operate.
I love it, because, as you know, you refer to the beginning of wisdom is the fear or awe of the Lord, who gave
right.
it all for us, as we just saw with the resurrection. You know, God is so good. But here we are at the bottom of the first hour, and I did say, if anybody has a question, and I'm going to give whoever has a question a chance to speak up. Is there anybody listening in that would like to ask him a question or make a comment?
I would.
Okay, please do.
I'm calling from Ohio, and we have a senator here by the name of Rob Portman. And when we voted him in, he was against gay marriage. And
right.
I'm sure we all know now that he is for it.
Sure.
So when we're out voting and we're looking for somebody who is going to represent our values and our morals, and we got somebody who says they're going to do this, and then after they get into office, they totally turn around and don't do what
yeah.
they promised us, what do we do?
That's a great question. Obviously from Ohio, you know the reason that he made the decision is because of his family. And what's kind of ridiculous about his response is, instead of attacking the institutions that encouraged and promoted that behavior, he embraces that behavior. And so it's a bit oxymoronic that he says, no, that's completely wrong, and I acknowledge it's wrong, and I believe it's wrong. Oh, wait a second, my family's there. No, then I think it's right, and my
right.
position has evolved. Well, that is a very tough position to be in, and I think what we have to do, the reality is you are accountable for the decisions and the choices that you make, and that's something, as a parent, we teach our kids. Well, that's a principle of life, and it should be no different for a person in that position. And so ultimately, then you work to replace him the next time he's up. Now, I understand that's a ways from now, and I understand at the beginning you're looking, going, man, we think we have a guy who would stand for our values. And one of the kind of crazy things I heard was Speaker Boehner said that he so supports this guy because he's right on the majority of the issues. Well, you know, here's kind of a newsflash. If you're wrong on the moral issues, you're going to be wrong on the majority of the other issues. Now,
right.
you might be more conservative than the liberals, but you're not really going to be the position we want you to be in. And so, unfortunately, at this point, all you can do is work to hold him accountable the next time. Now, certainly you can call him and tell him, hey, we don't want you supporting that and doing that. But because he has now embraced his family, who has accepted that and has chosen to live that lifestyle, you're going to have a hard time walking him away from that cliff, so to speak, because he's already chosen, I'm jumping down, this is where I'm going. And so we have to send a message saying, look, we did not elect you on that position, and if that's what you're going to stand on, then you're not going back. Unfortunately, it does mean you have to wait till his term and he comes up again. And obviously, you know, you can voice displeasure until then, but that's a tough position to be in, and unfortunately that's kind of the way that we have to wade through sometimes to find the good guys. And this is one of the reasons, too, that we so encourage Christians to get involved in the process, and not just in the voting process. We, at Wall Builders, we work with thousands of pastors across the United States, and we are encouraging more and more. They need to look inside their church, and they need to find the people that are successful in their life, successful in their family, that they're working a business, or they're, you know, that their manager, CEO, they're doing something where they understand how certain principles and concepts work, and they're the guys. Pastors ought to be approaching people in their church going, hey, we need you to run for this county position. We need you to run for this state position, because one of the problems is when we go to the election booth, we really don't have a good guy to choose. you have an okay guy, not very okay guy, and a worse guy that you're looking at, or, you know, girl as the case may be, not to be sexist, but the reality is, when you're looking at morally, we don't always have a great moral decision or someone that stands for character and values. And this is where we have to get back to, we have to recruit our people out of our church. And so if you had someone who was the same on all the issues where your congressman is correct, but then stands up for the biblical issues where your congressman doesn't, where you go, look, this guy gives us everything that we need plus the stuff that we lost. This is the guy that we want to put up against this guy so that we can replace him in the future. I think that's the direction we have to go. And as Christians, we have to be strategic in how we do that. The Bible tells us that we're to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And too often as Christians, we kind of miss that whole wise concept. And I think this is where we have to get strategic and go, okay, we're not walking away from this battle. We are stewards in this nation that God has put us in. You are a steward in the state of Ohio, in your city, in your county, all that's going on around you. And so you guys work to do, and unfortunately, because of what has happened, you're in a position nobody wants to be in. But you then, okay, the Bible talks about you gird up your loins, you know, you roll up your sleeves, and you get back to work, and then we're going to do better next time. And we don't get discouraged and walk away from the fight. Christians have a real bad mentality of we're going to fight a battle, and if we win, we cheer and we go home, and if we lose, we hang our heads and we go home, and we kind of fight a battle and we're done. And for the sake of our kids, the sake of our nation, this is not battles that we can walk away from. We don't have the luxury to let somebody else fight these fights. We have to understand that we are the watchmen on the wall, and we have to roll up our sleeves, and this is what God has called us to do.
I agree. I really agree.
I'm so glad for that. And while we're in Ohio, I saw in Ohio where the picture of Jesus that's been there in a school since 1947 was taken down because the officials were so concerned about the amount of money for litigation that's going to have to be spent. And, Tim, you know, we have organizations that I hear which represent. So what is your take on that when the ACLU threatens these schools?
There are so many law organizations that will do that pro bono now, that they are just looking for cases to defend people's religious liberty. People like Alliance Defending Freedom, Liberty Legal, even the ACLJ. There are so many groups out there that work to defend people's freedoms and liberties. And one of the problems is that we are not having enough people with backbone to stand up and fight these cases. In fact, Matt Staver with Liberty Legal, he was telling us that they win over like 95, 97, 98% of the cases that actually go to court. So their victory rate is really unprecedented as far as the success they are seeing. And so we are winning these cases hand over fist. The problem is we aren't getting people with enough backbone to stand up and fight because they're going, oh, man, you know, we just – the time and the effort and the money. Well, there are people that – will put up the time, the effort, and the money. All you have to do is have the backbone to say, wait a second, no. We're not going to sacrifice our religious liberty and freedom. This is the reason that so many of our forefathers came to America. It's the reason that so many people fought and bled and died throughout all the history of our nation and the military and all the things that people did and the sacrifice for this nation is so that we could have this freedom. I am not going to get intimidated and insecure about what's going on and just back down and let my religious liberties and freedoms be taken away from me. And all we need is people with backbone to stand up and do that. There are so many firms, so many groups that will do those and really pro bono because they just want to help people defend those religious liberties and freedoms.
Well, and, you know, y'all are resources, wall builders. I just really think that more and more of us need to be showing the DVD that you're, you know, that y'all make because it's teaching us to really to have some spine and to honor the heritage because here we are placed in a nation by God. You know, of all the nations he could have placed us, he placed us here where we can vote for good laws that will bless our children. And yet we're raising children that don't understand that value of being able to be politically involved.
Sure.
And they need to be watching your DVDs, Tim. So I just recommend everybody, that is a great resource. Please pass that on to your church. Churches are now starting to share that. Well, they've been showing it for a while. We just need all of them. And also, I just think about Christian Educators Association International, which is right there in Ohio where you're at. Ben Larson was on here in Alabama at a conference. He was so gracious. But we need people like that to be heard and more. But, Tim, I know you need to go, so if you'd like to close with some thoughts for us.
Well, I would love to encourage all the listeners today that we are in the middle of a battle, but the victory is far from having been decided, in the sense of so many Christians have been so discouraged with so many things in the political process that we've really hung our heads and walked away. And I think one of the great examples, Chesty Pooler, who was the most decorated Marine in history. The guy was amazing. Well, he fought in multiple wars. He was in the Korean War. In the Korean War, there was a group of Americans that was surrounded. And some people estimate they were outnumbered 29-1, just unbelievably outnumbered. Well, as they're surrounded, Chesty Pooler begins encouraging his guys, and he tells them, hey, you know what? We are in the best position we could possibly be in. He said, our condition is perfect. Now we can attack in any direction and hit the enemy. And I think this is one of the realities for us as Christians and as conservatives, is that instead of feeling discouraged, we need to go, wait a second, this just made my job easier, because now I can pick any issue I want and I can fight on all these issues because they are all prevalent. They are all battles that are going on right now. And so we don't need to get discouraged and give up. And by the way, they did. Chesty Pooler did help lead his men successful, got them out. They were able to overcome. And so as believers, we need to remember this is what we do. In fact, John Quincy Adams has one of my favorite quotes. He was 6th president of the United States. He was the only president to go from the presidency, go back and serve in Congress. And he served in Congress for over a dozen years. And he went back to abolish slavery, was the whole reason he went back. Well, at the time, it was a pro-slavery Congress. Nobody really cared about ending slavery. He was really standing kind of on an island by himself. Well, he's fighting and working to go through and get this done and get this done. And after years of heartache and failure and opposition, he's continued to persevere. Well, he has a reporter come up to him one day, and they say, Mr. Adams, how is it after all these years where you've not been successful, where you've encountered failure after failure, where there's so much opposition, nobody's on your side, nobody really even is liking you at this point because of what you're doing, how are you able to continue on? And his answer was incredible. He said, it's because the duty is ours, results are God's. Our job as believers is to do what we know is right, and we leave the results up to God. The reality is, in heaven, God's going to look down and say, hey, what did you do? And as long as we did the right thing, we get the good result. Our job is not the result. Our job is to do the right thing. And so as Christians, we need to be encouraged. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Keep standing for morals. Don't get frustrated. Don't get discouraged. We are seeing a lot of victories which don't get covered on the news, but if we want to see the major victories that really our nation needs, that our future generations, our kids and grandkids need, we have to stay engaged and involved in the fight. We have to promote biblical truth and morality, and we have to help engage this culture and our young people to know the truth so that we can preserve the next generation.
Oh, well said. Thank you, Tim. And, you know, slavery was ended by Christians being involved, so get involved. It doesn't matter what color you are. It matters. We need to acknowledge God in all our ways, in everything. But, Tim, have you you probably heard this. Miss Barbara is a history teacher, and she loves history, and that's why we have this on the show. But have you heard about the Dorchester Heights story of the chandelier? She loves to tell it. And I know she gets tired of me asking her. Would you like to hear that?
I'm not familiar with it, no.
Miss Barbara, would you be so kind?
I would. You know, I would love to, but I'll probably forget some very important parts of it. But it's just such a wonderful story. You know, the British, in the early part of the war, they were holed up in Boston, and General Washington was desiring to dislodge them and drive them out. And you know the story about when he sent Henry Knox up to Fort Ticonderoga, where
we had captured that fort and
sure.
the artillery there. So, you know, Henry Knox, through much difficulty in ice and snow, he built sleds pulled by oxen to bring all that heavy artillery down. But in addition to that, there were a lot of difficulties with the British being there in Boston and placing the artillery in the hills, Dorchester Heights, in the hills around Boston. And so one of his lieutenants, Rufus Putnam, I believe he was related to Israel Putnam.
He was?
I believe, and Fort Putnam was actually named for Rufus Putnam. I didn't learn that until just recently. But anyway, a young lieutenant stopped by the headquarters of one of the officers, and displayed there was a book from France. He looked through it, and in that book were the directions for making portable defenses which could be built off-site and assembled off-site and built off-site and then moved into position. We're called chandeliers. And so he took this information to General Washington, who immediately embraced the idea and had these built so that they could be placed. And actually, they ended up placing them all in one evening, one night. And
wow.
The Lord was so gracious to bring in a wind to take the sounds of it away from the hills, and a bit of a fog was brought in, but also they made some distracting noises as well in other places. But it was just an amazing answer to prayer. And and, you know, I think one of the British officers said that these patriots, these Americans, did more in this short a time than my men could have done in a month or something to that effect. But anyway,
wow.
Of course, the British left Boston when they saw they were surrounded, and they said they would not burn the town if they were not attacked. And so it was a very amicable parting with no loss of life and a great victory for the Americans through God's intervention in so many different ways. So anyway, it's a very inspiring story. Thank you for asking, Diana.
Well, that's a fun nugget to know.
We love it. God is so good. And she gives us those nuggets, Tim. So, you know, that's what's inspired all of us throughout the years is, you know, these bits of history. Because as Ms. Barbara says, the more you know about his story, the more you love God and this country. So we want the children. Well, God bless you, Tim. And we hope you'll join us again, hopefully next month.
Oh, it would be my pleasure.
Thank you, sir. Please extend our grateful appreciation to your dad.
I sure will. God bless you guys and all you do.
Thank
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Well, Don,
wow.
I think we have lost Don. Well, Miss Barbara, I was hoping that we had Mr. Pastor Wayne, but we lost Mr. Pastor Wayne early on. But what are your thoughts, Miss Barbara, on just that time with that young man? And at the same time,
Diana,
if anybody wants to call, they can call Miss Barbara. If anybody has a question. We've been studying Common Core for many years. We know a little. But they can ask us questions, and we'll try to answer. So we're so grateful for that phone call from Ohio. But I know we normally don't stay on past an hour, but I will let it stay on just a little bit while if anybody else would like to call on and call in and have a question. But go ahead, Ms. Barbara.
Well, of course, I'm just overwhelmed, Diana, with how good God is to us. For that time with Tim, and what a gift he is. And, you know, the seed hasn't fallen far from the tree. I mean, he is like father, like son, and he has such a, just like his dad, he just has such a love for God and for this country, and the knowledge, his knowledge is broad and it's deep, and he has an understanding of the times. That's what's like the tribe of Issachar, you know, it's such an understanding of the times for such a young man, you know, and so I'm just completely overwhelmed, grateful, inspired, and what a word of exhortation he gave us to, keep the faith, stay in the battle, remain engaged, and keep on keeping on. Duty is ours, the results are the Lord's, the quote from John Quincy Adams. I feel like we've been given a really precious gift today, Diana. A gift.
Well, I know, Ms. Barbara, and I was just thinking, you know, I love David Barton, but this was a wonderful surprise from God because, you know, you heard in that young man a faith that is his own. And that's what we want.
Yeah.
We want children to have strong faith that is their own. And, yeah, he is David Barton's son. But, you heard the standing in the young man's voice, and it is strong. It is strong. It is not weak. And, you know, he's fervent, and you can tell he has that knowledge. You know, that knowledge like David Barton has of finding out for his own. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it's just a handed-down knowledge, because many of it probably is, but you could tell this young man has been studying, he has a passion for it. And I'm so excited because, you know, the future is theirs, and they really have to be convinced their own self that what matters most. And you could tell God matters most. The fear of the Lord, the awe of the Lord, the training of the Lord, that matters in this young man, and he wants the others to know it. He wants the generation, another generation, to know it. So, what a blessing for the future! I'm just so encouraged, Ms. Barbara.
I am too. And you know, that's what makes all the difference. We have nothing. We have nothing to give. We have nothing to share of significance or value apart from God. You know, it's our relationship with him, and then as he blesses us with knowledge what God gives has such value and such importance. And, you know, that's why I taught in school, Diana, because I had something to teach. I had something that was so valuable to me. What I learned from God, what I learned from his hand in history, and because of its importance, the truth, that's, you know, I taught because I had something very, very valuable to teach and to pass on to future generations. And, you know, without that, we have nothing to give.
And, Ms. Barbara, you know, that's what's really wrong with Common Core, because it is a man-based system. It is a man. I mean, these people have studied all that they can study. And, you know, these are the same people that believe that we came from blobs. I mean, how very insulting. You know, God gave us the breath of life. You know, we are made in his image. But, and these are the people that people would trust to lead their children into the future. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, if you would just search the truth, God says for us to seek him. After you shall be given, seeking you shall find. Knock on the door, will be opened. If you're really seeking the truth, and, you know, ask God sincerely, he will help you find it. And the truth facts are there, as you have stated in history. You look at the founding fathers. There's no other group of men like them. Why? They started off where their training was the Bible. That was it. Pure training of excellence. There is no other book. And for it to have developed the kind of mind, the kind of constitution we have, you know something special was going on in that training out of that book, the Holy Scriptures. And the proof is there. My goodness, those men are, every one of them are so incredible. But then, Ms. Ball, when you compare it with today's education, which, you know, they've kicked the Bible out of schools, what we find are children who are blind. They are being led by educators who are blind. They're so full. I hate to say, not all of them. We have a lot of good ones. But there are those who's developing this Common Core and C-Scope. And I'm thinking, you know, what is it, the fruit of a poisonous tree? I think I've heard somebody say that, you know, poison. Poison. And we don't even recognize it. But if you would study the past, you saw what we had, why we're so great. Now, Senator Dick Tocqueville came here and tried to study what made America great. Well, it was, you know, really because God's word was being read to the people. But now we don't let the children have anything to do with God, and we are paying that price of really, I think, being full of ourselves. Pride has gotten in the way big time.
You know, we have the, at this point, we have the blind leading the blind, and we know what happens when the blind lead the blind. They end up in a ditch, and that is what we're looking at here, truly. That's where they're taking our children, because they are blind. They have a veil over their spiritual eyes, and they don't have understanding about God's truth. And, you know, so they are... What they're proposing is will be causing blindness in our children as well. You know, just what they know, and which is lacking in understanding and knowledge. So, you know, the blind are leading the blind. They will end up in
and
a ditch.
You know about outcome-based education, which when I saw that video, that was for anybody that wants to know about outcome-based. It was beautifully done. That lady, Peg Luksic, L-U-K-S-I-K, and P-E-G, first name, just Google that. I think you can find it that way. But I found it on Facebook, and I'm so grateful for who posted it. I think I found it in the Michigan Stop Common Core. So I'm just so grateful for them. And, you know, they're really moving in Michigan to make a difference. They might be the first one to get out of Common Core at the rate they're going. So it's just really amazing. It's like they're saying we've had enough. We've had enough. We've seen the worst. Kind of like California. You know, they're tired of it. They've seen the worst. But I'm thinking, Ms. Barbara, with that outcome-based education and, you know, the data mining, that was there, too. She talked about that. It was not as extensive as today's data mining. But still, the data mining is there. And I'm thinking to myself, there's nothing new under the sun. So that was done then. And, of course, the outcome they wanted was to have control of the children, because that was their bottom line, is whoever controls the minds of the children controls, you know, the future of America. Just like, you know, Hitler knew that, basically. We act like all this. That's not it. What is taught to the children is not going to affect, you know, the next generation, the form of government. But, my goodness, we know it affects. We know. So let's not kid ourselves. Let's get over that. But then parents need to also be mindful. They're also being controlled, and teachers are being controlled. You know, we see that in what's on TV. We see that what we're hearing or not hearing in the news. And that's why when people start really, you know, I hear they're making flyers. That's one of the things we like to do is have flyers with us when we go anywhere, you know, to give it to somebody, or a DVD of the information. Because, you know, every person that you give it to, you when they finally get it, Ms. Barbara, it's like a compounding of results, because they will share it with all their families, all their friends. You know what I'm saying? It's just incredible.
Well, it is. And, you know, Diana, I was thinking when we were talking with Tim Barton, and he was sharing some tips with us about our legislators, I was thinking how, you know, we need to somehow convey the truth to them that they are being manipulated by the federal government, by the Obama administration, by these I won't even call them educators because they're not educators in the true sense. The people like Arnie Duncan and Linda Darling Hammonds and Bill Ayers and Barack Obama and all of them, they're being manipulated. Our state legislatures are being manipulated by them, and we need to somehow get that across. If we don't get anything, you know, that may be the point at which, you know, they may rile up and get their feathers all flustered and say, well, you know, we're state legislators, we determine. But if we could somehow show them that no, they are being useful idiots to the federal bureaucrats there who have designed this plan, and this plan has been in the works from the time of Hillary Clinton and Mark Tucker. It is a continuation of the Outcome-Based Education Goals 2000. It is a long, long line that's being carried forth, and they're almost, you know, one of them said Common Core is the glue that is going to keep the data mining, to cement the data mining, to have all this information about the children, and that will follow them from cradle to grave. And, you know, I was one of the things that I really meant to ask Tim Barton was with the data mining, is there any way that an online curriculum such as Cisco, something that's totally digitized, will ever be any real oversight and ever be any real accountability for them when they can delete at will what they don't want parents to see, what they don't want the public to see? I just don't know, you know, I don't know about that. I do know that.
I don't think it is possible, Ms. Barber. I
don't either.
You know, it's impossible because, unfortunately, you know, evil is in the heart of men, and you're going to always have somebody. Somebody, and I think that's one of the reasons that they're, you know, our friends from Texas is trying to get rid of Cisco altogether. And you know, what's the problem with going back to the old way? You need to keep it separate. You need to keep teaching and all that separate from all that data recording of records, whatever, separate, because you can teach without a computer. You know, Silicon Valley parents, for those of you that are listening, you need to watch that Silicon Valley parents. They're teaching their children in schools that have no computers. These are the developers of the software, the systems that we use, and, you know, we don't need it. The Founding Fathers didn't need computers. So I think even the question of should we even computerize, Ms. Barber, should be debated. But it's not debated. It's all about making things better for our children. I think computers, you know, is going to make things better. Their minds is almost sleeping. The way that we're making it so easy for their brain to think, they're not really exerting themselves. And you know, that is the problem. And I think to myself, too, the data that you can access. And I looked, Ms. Barbara, on ACT Aspire, you know, which Tommy Bice, I remember at our, this is an example of what some of these superintendents may tell you that signed on is, oh, we don't, well, ours did anyway. Alabama was a rarity. You know, we're choosing not to go through that smarter balance in the park, and we feel like other states might be following Alabama. But ACT has already said on their website that it is aligned to Common Core, and yet he acts like he didn't know that, Ms. Barbara.
Right. Right.
But also on there it said that
deception. A lot of deception.
Well, it says on the ACT website that it is it's going to be transportable. The information is going to be accessible on the internet on a cloud-based. And when you hear cloud-based, it's now where, you know, you can be in Timbuktu and with your password access what's in your computer's memory. So if it's cloud-based, Miss Barbara, there's no way. There's no way that they can keep it safe because somebody will always be able, you know, to access. And really, they may be easy because, as I understand it, if you can just show a reason to be able to access the data, you're going to be given access to it anyway. You know, if, and it's so funny because we know that, you know, when we first started that, we wrote about the Bill Gates link, the Achieve Lou Gerstner link on this. One of the first articles we wrote is this Bill Gerstner's, I mean, is this Bill Gates, Lou Gerstner's, or Obama's Common Core? We didn't know. But we should add, is it Linda Ayers, I mean, Linda Donning-Hammond's or Bill Ayers? Because those are two more names we need to include in the picture. It's about the marrying of money with people that have the power and the agenda.
Well, that's right, you know, and what you have found out, certainly Tommy Bice, the state school superintendent of education in Alabama, could find out if he wanted to, if he does not know, in fact. But, you know, talking about Bill Gates and the money and putting the money with the power of people and so forth, Bill Gates is intimately connected with UNESCO. Now, this was the United Nations Agency on Education that President Ronald Reagan defunded.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they've got they've got a roundabout way. They have found a roundabout way.
Well, I think, I'm not sure, but one of the presidents, I don't know which one, one of them, I think, reinstated UNESCO, and I don't think it's been that long ago, so it might have even been during President George W. Bush's administration. I don't know, but I do remember that Ronald Reagan pulled us out of UNESCO, pulled the United States out of it because of what they were teaching that was so so wrong. Just so wrong, and they still are, you know. And Bill Gates is involved with it in some way with the technology of it.
Well, Ms. Barbara, you can really follow the money. You know, we saw there's a handout, and we posted it also, and I'll try to post it again on our website. But there is a handout. I think it was a study done by, I think, Pioneer Institute, but it's been taken offline. You know, a lot of these things we're finding are getting taken offline, just like the Race to the Top application in Alabama. If I could not access it, the PDF file has been taken offline. So, you know, if you can, when you're looking at it at each state, you need to take a snapshot download while you can, because some of these things are being taken offline, and we don't know what else they're doing with it while it's offline, but we really have to be smart. We're in this battle for the mind of the children. And, you know, those children are going to sit there. Just one of the things from that video that I think she said that hit me, Ms. Barbara, is, you know, those children are being forced to sit through that. They can't leave. They can't go. And the way that things are now, I saw where in Pennsylvania, this is how bad things are. In Pennsylvania, there is a senator, I think Dinneman or something like that, that was trying to introduce legislation that if you're wanting to homeschool your children, DHR, Human Resources, needs to come in there and do an assessment first to see if you're fit.
Well, their standards for being fit to teach are quite different from God's standards for being fit to teach, and would have been very different from the Founding Fathers' standards on being fit to teach. And who are they? Who do the children belong to, the state of Pennsylvania or the parents? You know, who did God put in charge of their children, the parents or the state of Pennsylvania? You know, I mean, who has authority and responsibility for these children? Their parents. They're the ones that birth the children and are raising and providing for them, and it's a God-given privilege and duty. And, you know,
anything else is just wrong. It's unbiblical. It's anti-God.
Well, we have to wake up. So we're encouraged by Tim. We're encouraged by parents. It's all those Facebook pages that's popping up to, you know, let's get rid of this Common Core, because, as you called it, Ms. Barbara, it is, I hate to say it, there's no other way about it. It is rotten to the core. When your very foundation is to take away the rights of parents to oversee their children's education, it is rotten. There is no way you can justify this system to parents. The parents that will buy that are blind. But I would think most parents will not buy that. As we are seeing right now, Ms. Barbara, you know, they're waking up in our state. They're waking up across the country. And I would really hope that the legislator, who is, first of all, a parent or a grandparent, would find out for their family's sake. Because I know that they're being sold all sorts of stories. Because let's face it, Bill Gates has lots of money to put out on PR. Everybody, even the PTA, was given $1 million for PR noise. The National Governors Association, they were given $9 million to make PR noise. Go to Truth in American Education. Find all those information. They're out there. But, Ms. Barbara, it's just really for the legislator who wants to believe their friend, because I know these things come out of committee. The committee makes decision on whether it comes out for a vote or not, as we have seen. They really need to be researching themselves, because what they're going to find out is this issue is not going to go away. If anything, it's going to be worse. If you put it off another year, they're going to have a target, because when those parents get it, they're not going to be allowed to stay in that office, because they have lost their trust on the most important aspect of life, protecting their family, that child.
That's absolutely right. They will certainly be on the wrong side of history if they choose to just cover their head in the sand and think this is going to go away. It's not going to go away. And as you said, the more parents that learn about it, awaken to the dangers of it and how wrong it is, and that our legislators perpetuated this, it's not going to go well for the legislators that are on the wrong side of parents, that are on the wrong side of history. You know, Diana, they don't have to be on the wrong side. They can educate themselves. There are so many people willing to educate them about Common Core, and this information is available to us, and it's available to them as well. You know, we're busy people, too. We have families, too. We have jobs, too. You know, we have many duties and responsibilities, but we manage to find out the truth because our children and their future depends on it. So they better get with the program.
They better. And on our website, Ms. Barbara, www.cityonthehill.tv, one of the first links we've got is the link to Liberty Council on what pastors and churches can cannot do. So, you know, make a copy of that PDF page, and it tells you that, you know, it's okay to distribute petition papers supporting or opposing legislation or citizen initiatives. It's okay for churches. It's okay for pastors. There's so many things you can do, but if you will get that, download that, and on the other side, present something that you want your congregation to know, then they'll know, hey, if they're saying to themselves, you shouldn't be giving this out, all they have to do is look on the other side. See, that's part of the problem, isn't it, Ms. Barr? People are afraid because they don't realize that there's things they can do.
That's right, and there are so many things that churches can do that will really, really help our families, our children, our country, if they only will do it. We don't have to be afraid. Liberty Council. I was so glad that Tim Barton mentioned Matt Staver. You know, we interviewed him some time ago, and he was always very helpful to us. And the list of things that churches can do is very enlightening. Important things that churches really, pastors are not aware that they can do these things and stay within the law, and they absolutely can. So, you know, the other thing he mentioned that is so important is that there are groups, including Liberty Council and ACLJ, American Center for Law and Justice, not ACLU, but the Thomas More Foundation, just different groups, Rutherford Institute, lots of different groups who are so willing to do the work to defend the cause of righteousness, and they do it free of charge, pro bono. And so, you know, we need not fear to take on to stand up for the truth and for what's right. And there will be those who will help us.
Oh, indeed, Ms. Barbara. So I recommend churches download that. I mean, folks, you know, go to your church, ask them to be praying on this issue, have handouts. You can even go to Truth in American Education. They've got all sorts of handouts there that you can make a copy on the other side. Put the Liberty Council, what churches can and cannot do. And I know Wanda is going to do one for other states. So we're going to post that on cityonhill.tv, and they can also use that. We've got one for Alabama, you know, that we're using, and I really like it. But also, besides the flyer, keep that in your purse because you never can tell who you're going to see at the grocery store, at the bank. That's also a parent. Ms. Barbara, I've not yet been turned away. As a matter of fact, they want my email, or they give me their email. So, you know, always be ready to get their email so you can build your email list. That way they can pass it on. I mean, just one person can have hundreds of email friends, so you just don't know what that will do. We have seen it. And here, you know, you've got on Facebook page, join the Stop Common Core Facebook page. Just look that up in the search on Facebook and, you know, like your state. And also tomorrow we're going to have Ms. Aloha Zena. Ms. Barbara, and Ms. Aloha Zena is one of the leaders in this because she was the first one to really introduce a resolution at the National Federation of Republican Women. And if I remember right, it was unanimous. Every one of those women understood. So right there, you have got really a way to move legislation. You just need to contact, you know, your state's Republican women's group and ask them about this, because every state signed on to this resolution to get rid of Common Core. So go that way, you know, find who they are, and they will in turn, you know, tell you what you need to be doing so that you can build a coalition in your state. But we're also hoping to be joined by Chris Nielsen, who wrote a book, Ms. Barbara, about Children of the Core. He's a former New York teacher that really wrote, you know, about this Common Core. If I remember right, he stopped teaching because of this. He just could not keep it up. So, you know, he's got the heart for children. And Ms. Barbara, you know, basically, if you're a Christian, and this is why I'm hoping more teachers will recognize this, Bill Gates started this because he wants better teachers for children. Yes, he wants children to be college and career ready, but I remember reading that one of the problems he saw were having bad teachers, that you could not get rid of them. And so what does he come up with? Because he's got the money to do it. And by the way, he's going to make some money while he's at it. This is not an investment. This makes him look good, and it's also going to build up a new gold mine. And there's an article on that. You know, education is the new gold mine for software, hardware, you name it. So he's done so many things in this Common Core promotion. But, Ms. Barbara, one of the things that teachers don't get is that it's going to be tied to their evaluation and whether or not they can keep their job, because that was one of his pinnacle points, was a bad teacher do not need to stay and teach. And this is a way to get rid of the bad teachers.
But then it's like, you know, it's like, well, whose perspective makes you, you know, decide on who's a bad or good teacher?
Well, the ones in charge of the system, how well they carry out the orders of changing the attitudes of American children, because it is about changing the attitudes. It's not high academic standards. They are certainly mediocre at best. It is, you know, we know it's a dumbing down, but it is a system for changing the attitudes of children. You know, children are the victims in the Common Core system, but teachers are also. There are a lot of victims in this Common Core system, and children, teachers, families, our country. You know, it's not good for anybody except the ones who are in charge of it, who are wielding the power, who are profiting financially from it, and those who have control over, you know, and their values that they're promoting. So, you know, but the teachers are victims also, and yes, their salaries will be tied to their evaluations. Their evaluations based on the test taking by the children, and we know what happens with that. We see right here in our neck of the woods over in Georgia, the dozens of teachers and principals that were indicted for cheating. They're being prosecuted. Administrators, teachers, principals, educators. This happened just Friday in one of the nation's largest test cheating scandals, and that was under No Child Left Behind, and this is like No Child Left Behind on steroids. And this is one of many cheating cases as well. So when it's all about teach to the test, the pre-test, all of this testing and one of the consequences of that.
Well, Ms. Barbara, in closing, I would also like to, well, you know, I saw, it was 178 teachers and principals, Ms. Barbara, in Georgia.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? 178. And there was a news that just came out also of Florida, Ms. Barbara. The same thing, not as many, but Florida teachers, because really it's happening everywhere. We're not hearing it, but more may be coming out. But I'd like for you folks to, if you've not seen the Rick Scott video where he talks about when Texas was asked to join in the Common Core, he asked, can I see it? And they said, no, it's not yet written. Well, the draft didn't come out until March 2010, but the states were, you know, asked to sign on. Well, the application was given out November 2009. Our state, along with a herd of cows to the slaughter, I hate to say that, a herd of states to the slaughter, they signed on by January 2010, and they signed on saying, we are going to fully implement this thing. And but Rick Scott said, no, I need to see him. And, you know, they couldn't produce it because it was not yet written. It wasn't until March 2010 that the final drafts were out, and then not even published until June. But we were being told, this is tested, this is rigorous, this is internationally benchmarked. So whoever can buy that lie, you might as well hide your head in the sand. But anyway, the truth's coming out. They need to watch that Rick Scott video of me testifying about that. And also the Georgia video where Georgia says, you know, we've tried this for 2 years. We're one of the first ones to do it. We're wanting to get out. That's a press conference on Georgia trying to get out. And they're reasoning if our children, our seniors, are being given reading requirements of seventh grade level reading. Today, seventh grade reading level is the reading requirement for the seniors on Common Core. And the math is so confusing that an accountant parent said she cannot help her elementary school age math student. So that's pretty bad. And then Jane Robbins, you know, she's got a video from the American Principles Project. You really need to watch that. And then, Ms. Barbara, what this one, that, have you seen this one that I've been talking about, the public lady, the one on Facebook, Peggy, let's see if I can say her name again. I'll try to find her name. About the outcome-based education. Have you seen that, Ms. Barbara?
The one from Pennsylvania?
Yeah. Have you seen that one?
Diana, I saw it many years ago when we were fighting outcome-based education here in Alabama. And Goals 2000, yeah, back in the, you know, I guess it was the 1990s. I saw it many, many years ago. And it's still just as relevant today because, you know, some of the names have been changed. But the ideas, the concepts that they're promoting are still there, you know. So...
Well, we need for them to be watching that, Ms. Barbara, because that right there opened my eyes, you know, because I'm a parent, I am, you know, grandparent, I am not aware of this, you know, outcome-based education. You know, I've never seen this video, but it all came together when I watched that video. So, listeners, you know, please educate yourself. Do yourself the biggest favor. Watch these videos. This is not a conspiracy. We wish it was not true, Ms. Barbara. She said, you know, we have other things we would prefer to do. We would prefer that the children are not going to be led in this road because we want them to develop like children that, you know, like Tim. What a wonderful example, you know, of a bright future for America. We need children that can think for themselves, that know where they stand. And I love what he says. Yeah, it's really not about teaching academics. And again, you know, they promote this as going to help, you know, make better students. But without God, to me, that's an impossibility. Without God, to make better children, to make better students, because just like Ben Carson's mother who prayed to God, you know, she was no PhD person. She was no teacher. She was just she lived in the ghetto, single mom, you know, with two children who were, they were saying they were the dunce in the class, but she asked God for help. And God in his goodness answered our prayer and told her to make those kids do two book reports a week. They didn't know she couldn't read. But out of that came two great young men who's now seeking out truth. So if you really want to help people out of poverty, you know, Common Core is not the way. It is a dumbing down. It is a control. And taking away, really, the promise of God for the children, Ms. Barbara.
That's right. It's a further distancing them away from God. You know, it's already happening, but this is even more so, moving them further and further away from God. And, you know, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And apart from him, I mean... Well, there is none. There just is none, and there will be no real understanding apart from him.
Apart from him, there's none. And we saw, hey, folks, you know, for you that are not believers, all you have to do is really study history, and you'll know that the best, the best students, I think of John Quincy Adams, Ms. Barbara, you know, he is the reason we have no slavery. He is the reason slavery ended. It wasn't just Abe Lincoln. It was because this man was trained in the training and admonition of the Lord, and he knew that slavery is anti-God. God wants us to be the very best. And let's end that, Ms. Barbara. I guess I'm going to go ahead and close this in prayer. Just so grateful for the opportunity for new listeners to join us and hear Tim Barton. Please go to wallbuilders.com. And, you know, please buy their DVD. Share it with your friends and family and your churches. Let's make a change because, unfortunately, that history that can produce the truth is not going to be taught anymore if Common Core has their way. But we want to stand, and we want to stand in the gap. We want to start something new. We want it to be taught even better than before. We'd reverence, Ms. Barbara, because
yes.
God's
yes.
way is the best way. So let's quit beating our head against yes. the wall trying to rethink and reinvent better ways to educate children. It's been done before. And as Miss Sandra Stokke
right.
has said to me, King James Version of the Bible, she says that's a high form of reading. That's like Shakespeare. Let's
that's
get our
right.
Bible and let the children read the Bible. Get you a King James Version. Let them read and let God's goodness. There's nothing like reading the Word of God. It does something to us, not just physically, but spiritually, emotionally, mentally. Sharpens the mind. So I'm going to close this in prayer, Miss Barbara. And we ask you to come on tomorrow. We'll be on just for an hour. Oh, today was a special day, but Aloha Zena will be on tomorrow, along with Chris Nielsen, author of, hopefully he'll be on, Children of the Core. So here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your goodness and mercy. Lord, we just thank you for what a blessed day we've had. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that those that had heard Tim Barton and the others, Lord, that they will, Lord, that they will hear those truths over and over again, Lord. We just thank you for the privilege of living in this land, the land of the free, home of the brave. And, Lord, we want to be brave because, Lord, you've given us so much. You've given us families to love and care. And, Lord, we thank you for the gift of, Lord, the resurrection. We know that we have victory in you. We know that you love us so much that you did not even withhold your son. And you said in your word to ask, and if it be thy will, it shall be done. And Lord, we want the children trained, Lord, raised up and trained in the admonition your way, Lord. So we pray that we can come back to that, Lord. We pray for the married parents that are listening, that they will cherish your word, that they will know that it is good, that you gave it to us, Lord, to give us a future, a hope, a life abundant. Lord, one thing that I even remember, Lord, that we hear the word dysfunctional families, and really there's nothing new under the sun. Those in World War II, Lord, had families that, Lord, were just being raised by women, too, because the fathers were out fighting for their families, for this great nation. But, Lord, schools were doing what was right. Lord, they were not teaching in order to manipulate the minds of children. And so, Lord, help us to fight. Help us to stand in the gap. Give us resources. Give us your wisdom. You said in your word, Lord, that if we want this wisdom, that we need to ask you, because you will give it to us, literally. Lord, that is awesome. So, Lord, we ask for all that have listened and all that are going to listen, all of us that are fighting against this, Lord, and other things, for the good of this nation, that you would give us wisdom on how to fight that good fight. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that the victory is in you. We thank you, Lord, and we ask these things in the precious name of your Son, Lord, Heavenly Father, who gave his very best for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Ms. Barbara, I would have the last one, if you don't mind.
Oh, yes. Well, listeners, thank you for joining us today. God bless you. And please share this podcast with everyone you know, family, friends, wherever they are. And it will be available at cityonahill.tv website, along with many other podcasts that are very, very informing and inspiring. And We ask that you share them. So may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. And may God bless America. Thank you for joining us at City on a Hill Radio Show. Bye-bye.